there, green future growers. Thanks for joining us today. If you're new to the show, I hope you'll subscribe on iTunes or your favorite Android app, and let's get growing. Welcome to the Organic Gardener Podcast. Today, I am super excited to introduce my feature guest, Nancy J. Andra, Plants Woman, because she has written just lots of like a dozen gardening books, and she's a renowned garden writer and editor. She has over 30 years of experience growing and experimenting with perennials and plant combinations. And I saw her email called The Perennial Matchmaker that I've been getting because I found one of her books when I was in a bookstore and just have reached out to her. And so she's here today to share with us about perennials, which are one of my favorite plants because perennials usually come back and they take little care as far as what I have found. So I think listeners will like that. So welcome to the show, Nan.
Hey, Jackie. Great to be here.
Well, we're excited to have you. So do you want to tell listeners a little bit about yourself first?
Well, I live in Pennsylvania, Southeast Pennsylvania. I didn't know if you knew that. So I'm zone, 6B7, and I've been gardening my entire life and got my first gardening job when I was a teenager, so it's been a long time, and I've been a garden writer and photographer for like 27 years now, so.
Wow. Now, do you live near Rodale's? Is that where you're at?
That is, I live about 10 miles from Rodale Press, yes.
Wow.
Or what used to be Rodale Press, yeah.
So I do usually start the show asking about your very first gardening experience. Like, were you a kid? Were you an adult? Who were you with? What'd you grow? Like, what was your beginning? Have you probably been gardening? Have you been from Pennsylvania all your life, or that's just where you're at now? Or
yeah, I've always lived here. We have a family farm. So I can't remember not gardening. So I was trying to think of my first gardening memory, and there really isn't one specific one. But, I mean, my best memory from childhood is, do you remember the Gurney seed catalog?
I don't know.
I do. Do you? That used to be over any book or anything. I treasured that catalog. And the best thing was that they used to sell a one-cent jumbo packet for kids where it was just a penny and it was, beans and flowers. And you know what? I never remember actually what came up from the seeds, but I just remember being so entranced by the variety of seeds in that packet and that I could afford it. So it's a shame I don't think they have it anymore, but it was wonderful.
Aww. Well, that's kind of a neat idea.
Yeah, I can't imagine any company would do that nowadays, but it was probably what they swept off the floor, but it was great.
Really? I could totally see a couple of seed companies coming up with something like that. So is that how you learned how to garden organically, like on your family farm?
Well, I mean, I actually grew up in the suburbs, but, we've always had the farm. But we didn't think of it as gardening organically. It was just mm-hmm. gardening. But because of the farm, I decided I wanted to go to college for agronomy to be a farmer. And it was 4 years of being inundated with pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, chemical fertilizers, and I'm like, you know what, I don't think I want to do this for a living. So I graduated, and I'm like, wow, what am I going to do with this degree? And I ended up taking an internship at Rodale Press Garden Books, since it was so close, and they had this summer internship. I'm like, well, I need a job, this would be great. And I sort of learned by being inundated with the culture and the information working on the Encyclopedia Organic Gardening and Natural Insect and Disease Control book. We were doing a lot of big books back then. And visiting the Rodale Institute, taking classes up there, that's when it really got me back into gardening as growing things without the emphasis on chemicals.
Man, that is like my dream. I always wanted to get the internship. I wanted to work at the one in New York City, but I always wanted to work for Rodale's. Like, I love their magazine and just everything about them. So why don't you tell us about your perennial book, The Perennial Matchmaker?
Perennial Matchmaker. That's my last one, and it's my favoriteest one. I've been wanting to do that book for so many years,
I bet.
Of course, now that now it's done, I would like to do it again, like, because there's just so much to say. People seem to really respond when they come to my blog to ideas for combinations, and it's so easy to go impulse buy perennials, and then you get them home and you think, well, you know, you plant them here or there based on what they need, but then you kind of think maybe something's missing, that you just really like to take it to the next level, as people say. And it's when you're doing perennial combinations, the way I think of it, I don't necessarily want people to go out and buy new plants, but to look at the plants that they have that are doing well, and then just figure out which ones, you know, you could move to put next to each other. If you have, you know, purple coneflowers blooming in one part of your yard, and a purplish pink phlox growing in another part, and you think, wow, wouldn't they look great together? Then you can just move them. So I was sort of hoping to inspire people that way without encouraging them to always buy new stuff.
Awesome. Okay. So let's back up a little bit, just in case there's some new listeners out there, people who are just beginning to garden. Do you want to explain what a perennial is, like the difference between an annual and a perennial, and maybe even like throw in a biennial?
Sure. I could take up the whole 45 minutes just talking about trying to define a perennial,
all
because
right, well,
people say it.
Just a brief little.
I know, I'm kidding. theoretically speaking, an annual is a plant that grows from seed to seed within one growing season. And a biennial would grow from seed one year, make leaves, and then flower the next year, and then make seed, and then die. And then a perennial would be a plant that theoretically could live from year to year for a certain number of years in one spot. And then there are tender perennials, which are perennials in some places, but annuals and other, like, they won't make it through the winter in other places. So it's actually rather complicated, but that's the gist of it.
I think that's perfect. Those are great definitions. So what I love about perennials is the fact that they do come back year, and generally to me, it seems like they're kind of more likely to be a native plant, like something that's going to grow in my area. And maybe that's just, those are the ones that we get or something, but, so let's say somebody's looking in their yard for perennials, because you said it's nice to, like, do you want to talk about how do you transfer them? Like, do you just dig them up? And, like, is there a certain time of year you have to dig them up?
Right. You can theoretically, again, move them any time of year. But ideally, I like to move, if something's going to bloom in the spring, I prefer to move it in the fall, because it gets a chance for the roots to settle in and the plants all settled in. So when it comes time to bloom, it's where it wants to be, and it's ready to go. And if something's going to bloom in, that would also be, you know, spring and early summer bloomers, move them in the fall. Things that bloom in later summer to fall, move them in the spring. So I'm thinking 6 months ahead, basically, to give them a chance to settle in.
Awesome. Because you know what? This might be a little off topic, but like our raspberries just basically faded out the last 2 years. And so we're starting a new raspberry bin. And I was thinking, if once the raspberries are gone, it would be an okay time to pick them. I don't know if you ever work with raspberry.
I usually harvest the wild brambles. I let them do the work. So I'm not sure about that.
Okay. What are the wild brambles? Like shoots off of other people's?
No, like blackberries and wineberries that grow in the hedgerows.
Got it.
That's what I mean. So that way I don't have to give them garden space.
Okay.
I have 4 acres, and with the farm, we have 40 acres. So there's like woods and hedgerows and things. So it's cheating, but, you know.
No, it's not cheating at all. awesome. Okay. Sorry. So back to the perennials. So move them about 6 months ahead.
Yeah. I mean, fall is a good time for moving a lot of things. But, you know, if you're trying to move something that's, you know, an aster or an ornamental grass that's in full bloom in the fall, it's going to be harder on the plant. So that's why you would move those in the spring. So But summer is a good time. Well, anytime during the growing season is a good time to think about the combinations. And often what I do is, say I'm looking out my office window at this pink phlox that inspired my example earlier. Sometimes I'll break off flowers and carry them around and just see if I find something that it looks good with. And then I make a mental note or a physical note to then move those two together. And I find phlox easier to move than purple coneflower, so I'll move the phlox to where the coneflower is.
Now, why is phlox easier to move than coneflower? We didn't really even get to that part yet about how do you dig them up.
Why is it? You'd have to ask them. That's just the way it works out for me. I guess it has something to do with the root structure or whatever, but it's just my experience in my own garden that I find the phlox is, you know, much easier to move. So, or sometimes I'll move both of them if one's in the wrong spot or whatever. They say that there are certain plants that you can't move, but really you can. If as long as you keep them watered and things, I can pretty much get away with anything. So
really, that's good to know.
Yeah.
So, let's see. Do you want to tell us about something that grew well this year in your garden? You have 4 acres of, is it just flowers or vegetables and flowers or?
Well, it's about almost an acre of flowers and vegetables. And then I have pasture for my alpaca. And then I have, the rest is like a managed meadow with cedar trees and native plants and, you know, that. So it's not all 4 acres of, you know, managed gardens.
Uh-huh. Okay, so what did grow well this year?
You know what? Pretty much everything has grown well this year because we have been blessed with rain like every 3 or 4 days. I have not had to water anything. And it's just, everything is glorious. The pastures are green still, which is almost unheard of in mid-July. And everything, and of course the weeds too, but the plants are just so lush. And it's not been so much rain that things are rotting, but it's, everything is just so ecstatic to be alive that it's a great time to be gardening.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
How about, is there something you're excited to try next year? Something new that you haven't done before?
Well, I always like to try new plants. But something I've gotten into this summer is harvesting for drying everlasting flowers and herbs and things. And I've had really good luck with, you know, status and winged everlasting. And so that is something I'd really want to do a lot more of next year, is the annual flowers to harvest for drying.
So where are you learning about that? Like, are you reading a book or did you take a class, or like just you've been studying it for a long time and now you're just putting it into practice, or?
Last year, it makes a difference when I'm working on a book. If I don't have a book in the process, then I have more time to experiment with new things. And last year I was doing more pressed flowers, and I meant to get back into that this year. And when I was cutting back some of my plants and the herbs and things, I thought, whoa, this is a shame to be throwing this stuff in the compost pile when I could be drying it. And then it got kind of carried away, as things are wont to do. And so my loft is now filled with wonderfully, you know, fragrant things. So
nice.
That's how I got into that. Yeah.
That sounds awesome. Do you want to tell us about something maybe that didn't go the way you thought it was going to this season, or didn't maybe work out the way, or it doesn't even have to be this season, like at one point?
It's sort of balanced. The wonderfulness of the rain has been balanced by some unwonderful things, as in after 15 years, the deer have found their way into the garden. Mm-hmm. And I thought we had an understanding that I have paths for them out back and they would stay in the paths and they wouldn't bother my stuff. And now they've actually started coming into the garden. So have to net the entire vegetable garden, which is very inconvenient. And then when I did that, then they said, okay, well then we'll go into the flower area. So, you know, it's the lilies and daylilies have kind of suffered this year. And I'm hoping that we're going to get past that and get back to our détente. And it's the Japanese beetles are back this year. We've been spared for a number of years that they would, you know, be a few. They're horrible this year. So that's also, you know, so much for the roses and all that. And, you know, but, you know, you take the good with the bad, right?
Yeah. You know, we had kind of a similar thing, and Mike and I keep going back and forth about whether it was a blessing or not. Like, at the beginning of the spring, somehow the deer got into, he planted this thing, I call it the mini farm. And one night we got up and there's three deer in there in the morning. And he is just like, every time we go down there, oh, the broccoli didn't. And I don't know, we might not get broccoli because they did eat the broccoli down and they ate quite a few peppers and some peas. And they did a fair amount of damage. But if they got in there right now, the damage that they would do, and I just feel like, to me, I feel like that has made us so much more vigilant than we would have been. But I also have a similar with, like, where he normally plants our garden, not where the mini farm is. He hasn't wanted to do anything because our chickens got into the garden. And they have been just like, they have free range of the entire garden. And so, like, where we have planted things, he's put like little chicken wire covers over them or something. But I know he's so frustrated because they were always kept in a pen. And I talked him into letting him out a couple of years ago. And since then, we've just been having problem after problem. So very similar experiences. So I know how that goes. But I love your attitude about it. You just are so eloquent and have this great passion for gardening that just comes through. So I think listeners are really going to love this interview.
Okay.
Before we get to the root of things, we're going to thank our sponsors and affiliate links. Organifi Green Juice is a gently dried superfood mix that supports health, mental clarity, while detoxifying your body all in one delicious drink. What I love about Organifi, it makes me feel great. It's easy. It doesn't take much time. It's full of nutrients and superfoods that I have a hard time getting anywhere else. And it just tastes delicious. Now, as a teacher, you all know that our time is totally limited. I have kids in my classroom from 7:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night. So just even using this simple thing can be difficult for me, but I can pull it off and so can you. If you want to feel good and get all your greens in a simple, easy drink, remember, you can get a discount as an Organic Gardener podcast listener by entering code OGP16, and Organifi will give you a 15% discount now. So just go to Organifi.com, and when you go to checkout, enter code OGP16, and they'll give you 15% off your order anytime. Know how to create a small market garden that can feed 200 families and create a generous income? Have you ever wanted to learn how to do manual labor that's pleasant, lucrative, and very much in keeping with a healthy lifestyle? Maybe you just wanted to learn how to improve the quality of your own soil while maximizing crop yields. G. Martin Fortier discusses biologically intensive farming in his great book, The Market Gardener. Mike and I have both read this book. We've poured through it. We've used lots of the tips and techniques here in our own garden, growing our own food. And so if you'd like to get a copy of Jean-Martin Fortier's awesome book, The Market Gardener, from Amazon, you can also help the Organic Gardener Podcast by simply going to www.organicgardenerpodcast.com. And at the top, there's the recommended books, where you can get a copy of Jean-Martin Fortier's The Market Gardener or any of the other books that have been recommended on our show, and also support the Organic Gardener Podcast with just a tiny bit, but every bit helps. Okay, so this is kind of like on other podcasts. I don't know if you've done a lot of interviews on podcasts, but like a lot of people have like a lightning round. So I call it, we're going to get to the root of things, and it's kind of like, you know, just quicker answers. So do you have a least favorite activity to do in the garden? Is there something you got to just force yourself to get out there and do?
Watering.
Right? It takes watering. A long time.
And it's never as good as a rain, no matter what you do. It's never good enough. So, and I hate wasting. I feel like I'm wasting water no matter what. Even if I'm just watering the vegetables, I hate it. So.
Awesome. I feel the same way a lot of the times. And Mike is always like, you got it. Did you water them today? Did you water them today? And I'm like, didn't I just water them yesterday? I have to water them again. I agree with you. The rain's the best. So what's your favorite activity to do in the garden then?
Anything to do with seeds. Planting seeds, collecting seeds, cleaning seeds. That's my thing.
Got any tips for listeners on how to collect seeds?
Just try. I think so many people are afraid, like, well, I don't know what's the seed and what's, you know, what to collect. And if you've grown things from seed, it's a lot easier to know how to collect seed because you know what you're looking for. If you've grown a zinnia from seed and then you're trying to figure out what part on the zinnia to collect, you recognize the seeds. But I wish people would just give it a try. And it's really not that hard. And then you're saving money, you're, you know, preserving a favorite plant, and then you have seeds to share too.
Right? There's always so many seeds in every plant or every flower, it just seems like to me. What's the best gardening advice you've ever received?
We had a wonderful gardener out this way named Joanna Reed. And when I was a young gardener, I went to see her garden on a tour. And the best advice she had ever received when she was beginning was a gentleman told her the phrase, back into your work, as in, if you have a big area that you're digging or mulching or weeding, orient yourself so you're always looking at the part you've done and not the part that you still have to do. And it's, you have to sort of think about that for a bit, but it's the best way to, you're always getting gratified because you're like, wow, look at that. Doesn't that look nice? Instead of saying, oh my goodness, look how much I still have left to do. So that's gotten me through a lot of big projects.
I love that.
Yeah.
It reminds me of my students in school too, like sometimes thinking about that for them and showing them, look how far you've grown this year, not worrying about, you know, this test coming up or something like that.
Right, really, exactly.
How about a favorite tool? If you had to move and could only take one tool with you, what could you not live without?
My brother is also a gardener, a professional gardener, and he got me hooked on these things called Jacoti hand shears, and they're meant for shearing animals. Sheep specifically, but they look basically like a garden scissors. I mean, they work like scissors, but it's sort of a cross between scissors and pruning shears. And my life has been complete since I got these things. I've always wanted something like that with long blades, longer than a pruning shear, which I find them invaluable for when I'm pruning perennials, when I'm cutting them back, either, you know, cutting off the dead flowers or cutting them back to make them bushier. Or harvesting. I even use them for weeding, which you're not really supposed to do, but because they have like pointy tips on them, so I use them to pry weeds out of the soil. And I work as a professional gardener a couple days a week, so these things are almost permanently attached to my hip. So I think they're great.
How do you spell it? Jacoti?
Jacoti, J-A-K-O-T-I.
Awesome. I think listeners are going to love that. Nobody said anything like that. Sheep shears.
Yeah. Well, in the interest of full disclosure, my brother actually sells them online, but you can also get them from, I think, Useful Llama Supply or Useful Llama Items. Places that sell tools for shearing animals do sell them too. But they are just, they're wonderful and they're self-sharpening. So I've used them for years and not had to actually sharpen the blades. So I think they're great.
And what's your brother's website?
I think it's JacotiHandShears.com or Jacoti Shears. If people Google Jacoti Shears, they'll find it. I think they're on eBay too. And Amazon, I think somebody has them. So
excellent. How about, do you have a favorite recipe you like to cook from the garden?
You know what? I actually don't really cook. So I pretty much just eat anything that doesn't need to be, like salads and things that don't actually need to be anything but chopped, so that I can handle.
Awesome. Okay, well, that's good. If that's what you like, salads are great. How about a favorite internet resource? Is there somewhere you like to go on the web?
Well, mostly what I'm looking for is to be able to identify plants. So Google Images is pretty much always up on my desktop because I'm searching for pictures to compare. I'm also a Pinterest junkie, so I will spend hours on Pinterest, like looking for plant combinations, gardening ideas, that sort of thing. So I probably should have said that first. Yes, Pinterest.
I like that. How about a favorite reading material, like a book or a magazine or like a blog?
I didn't really spend much time reading about gardening. I'm more like doing it. But my friend that subscribes to Gardens Illustrated and passes along the issues of that. So that is my eye candy. And I will actually read that too. It's you know, published in Britain, but they have gardens from all over. So I like that. A lot of different things in there.
Oh, cool. I haven't heard of that. I like the way you call it eye candy. So you don't really have a business, but do you have like any advice, like if somebody wanted to write a book about gardening?
It's getting more and more difficult to get a book published through a traditional publisher because there are fewer and fewer places that publish gardening books. But on the other hand, with the internet and the web, anybody can be a garden writer. And that's what this is my 10th anniversary for blogging. I've been doing it for a decade now. And I think it is the most wonderful thing for any gardener. People, I think, are hesitant. They're like, oh, no one's going to want to read what I have to say. But it's such a wonderful community of people with garden bloggers. And there's this thing called Garden Bloggers Bloom Day, where on the 15th of every month, people post pictures of what's in bloom in their garden. And then there's a woman that has a blog called maydreamsgardens.com. And people then post the link there and they say, oh, I'm participating this month. And then everybody can go look at what everybody else has in bloom. And it's a wonderful, positive, happy group of people. And everybody has something to share, even if they're a beginning gardener. I also use blogging as a garden journal. It's the only form of garden journaling I've ever been able to keep up with. And if I'm starting a project, I'll post pictures and I'll say, oh, I know this doesn't look great now, but I want to remember what this looks like later. And I think it's a great resource for anyone to have photographs and records of the projects they're working on, the plants they're growing, you know, what worked, what didn't work. And, I would encourage anybody to try that, whether they want to be a garden writer or they just want to keep good garden records.
Wow. You know, that is so wonderful. I don't think anybody's ever said that. And, you know, people ask me a lot, and like, I had this garden or I had this blogging challenge once that was like, write, I think it was like 10 posts. So that's three a week or something for a month, 10 posts for a month. So like one every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And like, don't publish it and just see. And if like either you're either going to hit publish or you're never going to want to hit publish, I think, after 30 days of, you know, just writing every other day about just anything. And just, I always tell people, I'm like, you don't want to start with your, you know, you're going to make mistakes in the beginning. So you don't want a huge audience in the beginning anyway. You just want to start and get the feel for it. And just, you know, don't worry about doing it for yourself. Do it for yourself, like you said. So I think that's just great advice.
Yeah, so, I think, you know, it is. So, go ahead.
I didn't want to interrupt you.
Oh, no, that's okay.
Okay. So my final question just goes, if there's one change you would like to see to create a greener world, what would it be? For example, is there a charity or organization you're passionate about or a project you'd like to see put into action? Like, Nan, what do you feel is the most crucial issue facing our planet in regards to the environment, either locally, nationally, or on a global scale?
It makes me a bit sad to see people think of plants as lifestyle accessories rather than living things. It's so easy to go pretty much anywhere and people just buy an already growing plant and they stick it in a container and it's there. And it's wonderful that they're attuned to plants at all, but I think so much has been lost with people not growing things from seed. Not being cognizant of the natural cycles of plants and the way, you know, people want plants to do certain things. Well, sometimes plants don't want to do that. They'll come into the nursery and they'll want something that blooms all summer in the shade that the deer won't eat. And sometimes there just aren't plants. People just think they can order a plant the way they can order a piece of furniture or something. And it's rather sad. And so I would like to really encourage people to, if they've never grown something from seed before, to try one seed next year. And if they already grow things from seed, then encourage them to collect seed from one of their favorite plants and pass it along to somebody else in the hopes that it would inspire people to get more back in touch with how plants grow and the natural cycle of you know, them growing and blooming and dying. I mean, plants die. So, you know, people get so upset, but, you know, that's just the nature of plants. We say, oh, a perennial comes back every year. Well, yeah, it comes back every year for a couple years, but things happen, and then even perennials die. So then you have space to plant something else. So that's my little two cents.
That's true. My sage plant died after many, many years of being one of the biggest bloomers in my yard this, like, last summer. So they do, but for the most part, they've been one of my my favorites. So, thank you so much for coming on. That was just perfect. You're such an eloquent speaker, and your books are wonderful. So do you want to tell listeners what your website is so they can check out your books and where they can get the Perennial Matchmaker?
Oh, sure. Well, my blog is hayfield.com, and that's HAYEFIELD. And then it has links to my Pinterest page. I have an Etsy shop, and then I blog, you know, once a month. So
once a month. Ooh, that sounds awesome. That doesn't sound so intimidating.
No, it's manageable. I participate in Bloom Day every month from March or April through October usually, and then my November thing is I like to give away seeds. So if I have the time, I do a seed giveaway for my readers. So that's usually my November thing. It's great fun.
Wow. All right. I'm going to have to get on your mailing list. What was I going to say? Oh, and listeners, if you do get one of Nan's wonderful books, just don't forget to leave a review on Amazon, because that's always so important, helping authors. And she's just done a great job of teaching people about gardening and inspiring them to garden. I'm sure you're as inspired as I am after listening to this episode. So have a wonderful day, Nan. Thanks for coming on with me.
Thank you, Jackie. That was so much fun.
Hey, Green Future Growers, Jackie Marie Beyer here, and I am excited to tell you about a new product that I've created called the Organic Gardener Podcast Garden Journal and Data Keeper, helping you build your very own organic oasis one day at a time and giving you a place to record for the future. And so it's just kind of like a journal record keeping book that will go basically like once a week. There'll be a couple of pages where there's like a place for you to draw, a place for you to write, and just, you know, the data junkie in me. I know I was thinking this would be the perfect place where you could like keep track of the temperature, keep track of the weather, make notes, a place to record what produce are you buying, like to actually look and see, do I spend most of my money on apples or do I spend most of my money on broccoli? Like, what are you growing in your own garden? You know, what did you purchase? And like kind of give you an idea of what are you spending on vegetables? So maybe you want to plan on, you know, I buy most of my potatoes in February, or I buy most of my potatoes in June, or I buy mostly broccoli in, you know, October, or, and then a favorite recipe that you're cooking in. Just, I don't know, just a place. Like I was thinking, you know, this would be a journal that I would use. At first I was thinking there'd be a page for every day, but then Mike said probably be better to just have a page or two for each week. Because I, you know, sometimes it's hard to write in a journal every single day, even though I love to get up and like first thing in the morning, write in my journal, you know, what are my thoughts, sit with my coffee. That's like one of my favorite rituals. So if you like having a journal and you're interested in keeping data for a year, I thought it'd be really neat to have a book made just specifically for the garden. It would have maybe a monthly garden goal. I think a lot about, you know, gardening starts more in the fall where you're starting to plan. You're thinking, I've even been thinking we should be sending our dirt sample in now to see what does our dirt need for the spring. And just like learning, you know, learning about like, what are our habits? What did we grow? You know, it'd be a place to keep track of what did I grow last year to kind of like, you know, really record. Just so you kind of have a hard copy and it's all in one place. So if you're interested in learning more about when it will actually be available for sure, which hopefully will be pretty soon, And then definitely like a sale day for Black Friday, I've made a special landing place for you at the organicgardenerpodcast.com/2018. So it's just going to be simple, organicgardenerpodcast.com/2018, because it's going to be a 2018 journal. You can download the first couple of pages already. Check it out. I'm open certainly for any feedback if you have any suggestions. I'm creating in Create Space, so it should be ready, to get off of Amazon or off of our website pretty quick. So I hope you like this idea. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you're enjoying the show as much as I am. My guests are amazing. So have a wonderful day. Your humble host, Jackie. If you know somebody who would benefit from the Organic Gardener podcast, we would just love it if you would share it with a friend. Thanks again for listening, and remember to grow.